Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. On this Thursday, Ed Norris likes to call this day
Friday Eve, babe.
I had to think about it for a second.
I had to get my microphone for a second.
I woke up yesterday. Where am I? I woke up today. What day is it?
Yeah.
It's that way, man.
We've been in two countries.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Look at it that way. I have been. Doesn't feel like it. Toronto doesn't feel like it's another country, though.
No.
It is, but it doesn't feel like it.
Because it's our 51st state.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Did that happen yet?
Yeah. I couldn't. I got away with that the first time in March. Yeah. I didn't pull that one off this time around. But that whole tariff thing where in March they said, well, we're only serving, this is our last bottle of this bourbon that we're selling because we don't know where the tariffs are going. Right. Plenty of bourbon when I went up there this time. I asked one bartender, I said, what happened to that whole, you guys not selling any bourbon thing anymore? He said, they didn't kind of enforce that, so we're still selling it.
It ain't last.
It ain't last.
It ain't last.
It ain't last. They had all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Chicago was awesome. I love Chicago, though. So what's going on? What you doing? You had a very good event. Thanks a lot for Pathfinders for Autism.
Yeah,
last
we
night.
Were at Linwood last night, and Pathfinders for Autism had a charity poker tournament, and it was fun watching everybody because there were people that Ed stopped by too. You can tell they had a novice table where people were learning how to play. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like so, I hope she doesn't mind me telling the story. BJ's, I was walking around the table helping people out.
Right.
And BJ Surhoff's wife, Polly, she's like, "I'm gonna fold." And she says, "Don't fold, you can check." And then she said, "Can you come over and help me?" And I looked down and I was like, "You got the nuts. Nobody can beat you." She goes, "What?" I said, "Nobody can beat you. Like, you have the best hand that's possible. You have the nuts." And then I had to explain to her what it was. And then she's like, "Okay,
really?
All in." And then she pushes all her chips in. And everybody's like, "Well, I'm not betting now." But she was, man. She had a pile of chips in front of her that was huge. But it was... it was a great time, and you know as well as I do, Pathfinders is
they
just
right.
Amazing, and obviously for a great cause. So anytime, I know anytime you're out of town, they might text me and say, "Hey, do you mind doing this?" And it's always a yes. So.
Now, let me ask you this. What do you think I would have contributed to the poker tournament?
Nothing.
So it's probably best that you did it.
Well, they asked me, they said, "Are you coming to the Humidor event?" And I was like, "No, but Rob will be there definitely." So
yeah, they...
You got a cigar and a bourbon event coming up, or is it all in one?
No, I have a bow tie event coming up.
Bow tie, okay.
Bow tie event is on the 29th, and the cigar event is sometime in October.
Can I show up in like the Chippendales bow tie, no shirt, and just those tight pants?
Why not?
Is that it's the same thing, right?
Sure. It's bow tie.
Yeah.
Whatever you want there. Go for it.
The thunder from down under.
Warn me before you get there.
Yeah. I'll tap you on the shoulder.
No.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that at all.
Rob, you mind introducing me to your friends? What the hell?
I do mind. Oh, man. How about Shohei Ohtani? Well, how many times are you going to keep moving the goalposts for this guy? Now he's 50-50, 50 home runs, 50 strikeouts.
Oh, Jesus. Is that all he has in the season?
Yes.
Oh, you mean 50 pitching strikeouts.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the first player ever to achieve that.
I heard the overnight guy going off on Dave Roberts, and we're all in agreement that Roberts isn't.
He's 100% right.
But what he's talking about with Ohtani, like he's like, they don't know what they're doing. Do they want to make him a starter? Roberts was saying they might use him out of the bullpen. It depends how many starters they have. But also, like he's like, you're going to rob us of this, and you're going,
oh, no.
You're going, wait a minute. his longevity is more important to them than anything else.
How about his was more important? Winning than robbing you of seeing him as a starter. Can you imagine Shohei with that stuff coming out in the playoffs in the bullpen in the sixth inning?
Yeah.
Get you to the eighth inning? Yeah. Your setup man?
People don't realize how important that role is and what it does when the starting pitcher comes out. To have a guy that, like, how important was Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman when the Cubs and Guardians or Indians at the time were going at it and we were watching them just totally abuse these pitchers because they need them, and then in game seven we watch everybody give it up. So
you know when I realized how playoff baseball was different, Jeremy? It's when Andrew Miller went to the Cleveland Indians at the time. They were Cleveland Indians at the time. That was their name, folks. And it was the sixth inning, I believe. And he had two runners on, one out. He may have been up one or two runs. And he put Andrew Miller in the game. I'm like, why are you putting Andrew Miller in the sixth inning? This is stupid. I think they were up two. Andrew Miller plowed through the next two batters, came back out in the seventh and plowed through those batters. And it dawned on me. Andrew Miller saved the game in the sixth and the seventh inning.
There's no question.
He wasn't worried about getting to the ninth inning. He was worried about stopping the bleeding now. Now, this is the most important time of the game right now because I could lose momentum. It's the playoff game. Andrew Miller didn't come in the eighth or ninth inning. He came in the sixth inning, and he saved the game then, and he killed all the momentum. I can't remember who Cleveland was playing. But then it was like, you know how long ago that was. What was that, 16, 17 maybe? I think that was the year they lost in the World Series. But that's when I realized, man, this thing is different now in the playoffs. It's not what it used to be. It's not about the starter giving you length.
Andrew Miller was one of my favorite acquisitions the Orioles ever made. And I know some people were going, oh, my God, you're giving up Eduardo Rodriguez. I'd give up to Eduardo Rodriguez to watch that guy play here.
Get you a chance.
Yeah, that tall glass of water. By the way, failed starter.
Yeah.
I think with the Tigers, if I'm not mistaken. And then another one of those guys that just you say to him, hey, man, go out there and give me whatever you got for an inning or two. And it's unhittable.
Mariano Rivera, failed starter. Failed starter to set up man to John Wetland. Then they realize, you know what? Let John Wetland go to Texas.
Yeah.
And they pushed him in the closer role, and he was just lights out from that point. But yeah, a lot of failed starters. But yeah, it's different in the postseason. I hate not being in the postseason. Orioles, of course, eliminated Tuesday from the postseason.
I didn't see that one coming.
Missed it by that much.
I hate not being in the postseason, man. After being in there a couple of years in a row, contending in 1 year, and then getting there 2 years in a row.
That's kind of like, you get paid extra during extra innings, you know, when that happens, so you probably get paid more during postseason play, too.
Who gets paid more for extra innings?
Well, you're working longer than a nine-inning game.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, you don't.
You got to get that in your contract. No. I mean, Ben and we talked to Ben and Brett and Jeff. All those guys have it in their contract.
They got it in their contract?
Yeah, you need to talk to those guys. Hey, man, I heard you getting paid for extra innings. No.
Get paid by the hour. Y'all hired? How much y'all make an hour?
Oh, man.
410-583-1057. Why are you slow blinking over there? What's wrong with you?
I'm sick.
How'd I know?
I can. It's kind of evident.
What you got?
I just think I have a bad cold. I can't breathe.
I'm sick. Demented.
Nose is running.
Represented.
Ugh. Yeah.
You got sniffles.
So I got more than sniffles, but yeah.
You okay? Slow again over there.
Yeah,
like he's trying to focus. Appreciate you opening that slide for the window for me though today. What are you talking about, Joe? What is Joe talking?
He just
about?
Asked with all the. I'm not going to say
what
it
time
here,
is
Joe.
It.
Yeah, if with all the sniffling, he's like, "What time is it?"
Four ten 583. 1057 is the number.
Pack up.
Oh my gosh.
Go back home.
It's bad. Is it bad that I got what he was saying? Mark Andrews downplayed his slow start, saying he's contributing in other aspects. We'll talk about that at 6:30, I'm sorry. But on the other side, O's go to the Chi-Town and get the sweep. Orioles baseball up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan.
And a high slider is put in the air to left center. Dylan Carlson ends the game, ends the series, ends the season series with an Orioles sweep. They take all six from the Sox as the O's survive a 3-1 win, and they sweep on the south side.
Not only that, it's the first time in team history that they swept a season series from the Chicago White Sox.
Really?
They swept a series, but not the whole season.
Oh, see, I got
a season
you.
Series, yeah. All right. So they took care of business against them. Does anybody now want to take a look at what this kid, who this kid, Jeremiah Jackson might be?
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Is this real? You know what I mean?
How old is he?
25, I believe. I believe 25. You can check.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Is this real?
For right now, yeah.
I watched him in batting practice 2 days in a row. And you heard the whole saying, when the ball hits his bat, it sounds different.
He's 25.
It doesn't sound explosive like a home run hitter, but it sounds solid. Yeah. Yes. That's the best. Every time the bat hits the ball, it's solid. He squares up on it. And this is his, and I may want to save this for Clubhouse Connection, but I'll go now. He goes in first, Ed. He lays down three bunts. Then he pulls it down the line. He hits it in the gap. He goes oppo. Then he hits it in the power alleys. This is batting practice. Pulls it, power alleys, oppo, power alleys. Then he starts hitting the ball over the fence. This is his routine. Bunt. Singles, extra base hits, home runs. It's like on demand. Okay, now I want to hit the ball over the fence. Over the fence. Like, and when you watch him go through his process, it's like, man, is this real with him? I think he's a heck of a ball player.
I mean, that's
he's had a great opening act here.
But that's the part of it. Like, even when I talk about Trevor Rogers, can he repeat it?
Mm-hmm.
You have a bit more of a track record with year one with Rodgers, but a bunch of bad ones after that. Because how he's pitching now, he has never pitched like this.
No, never.
And Jeremiah Jackson has never hit it.
Never played like this. Never played like this. Yeah.
I don't think at any level, right?
No. No. So, not at all.
Again, that's the hard part where some people go, well, why are you? I'm not doubting him. I'm just wondering if this is something. Because like, there's been times where you watch the starting pitcher here and it's like, oh my God, he's amazing. Do you remember, was it Brad Bergeson? Was he the guy who got hurt in the Masson commercial? Brad, the old Orioles
pitcher. Yeah, I think it is.
He got hurt. He got hurt doing something in a Masson commercial. But he was having this amazing season, and I kept having Keith Law on the show, and Keith Law kept going, yeah, that guy's getting really lucky. And this is when I first started to learn a little bit more about getting in depth with the numbers and seeing that. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, he hits a lot of bats. They're hitting them right at people right now. And at some point, they start going in another direction. And you see that it wasn't repeatable from him. The thing that gives me pause is that, the algorithm that I use, Rob Drink.
Too early.
It doesn't have, Trevor Rogers is never in the top five of pitchers on any day. And I think it has to do with the historical data of how he's pitched before, which I think is unfair. But I've seen this happen before where it's like, yeah, they don't like this guy, and I don't know that he's going to pan out to be what you think.
Who's
so,
that?
That's Brad Ferguson. We're talking about him. Yeah. Now, that's why with Trevor Rogers, I'm still going, I really like what I've seen.
Yeah.
I want to see if he brings it back next year. And even if it's not this good, and it's
like I said, if it's 2.9, if it's 3.1, it's still you're outstanding.
If you're a sub-4 ERA guy, you're
good.
Plus. You're plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, but Kobe Mayo is hitting five of the last six games.
He hit some
with two home runs, a couple of RBI. Is he starting to figure it out?
And Beavers. I think he is. I mean, I was watching back-to-back games with the Tater that he had, and you're looking at it, like, the eye looks better at the plate.
Yep, walking, it does.
Even being selective with good pitches, I feel like, I hope this is the final, like, it's starting to turn for him and he's figuring it out, but we have to wait and see.
We have to. He's raised his batting average from 184. He's at 203 right now. And you can look at it and say, well, it's only 203. Yeah, but it's from 184. You know what I mean? So his on-base percentage has climbed 30 points. His slugging has climbed also 40 points. His OPS has climbed 60 points maybe? Yeah. So, you know, he's headed in the right direction. On top of that, he looks to be more confident as well. So I hope to see him get it done.
You get Yankees tonight, so you can kind of...
Thank God for Fox.
Yeah.
I get off tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me call them and see if we can't get this little mass in, too. We get the Nats announcers. Maybe you can't have the night off. Actually, nobody wants that.
That was a shot to the Nats announcers.
I didn't say that. Who said that? It wasn't me. I'm just saying, thank God I get both broadcasts, so I get to pick what I want to listen to. Oh. Ooh.
Let's go to Dundalk and get Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning.
Can't hear you, Johnny.
You want him to speak louder?
We got you now.
Right. My apologies, though.
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, my. You're talking about Jackson and Mayo, man. I question, like, is the whole regime turning the pages? Does it make you, like, apprehensive about maybe bringing in another manager and another staff? Because, I mean, they're finishing up the season pretty darn good.
Well, they finished up the season getting healthy, first of all. Let me say that first, Johnny. I'll get to Mancino. But they didn't start the season with Bradish. They didn't start the season with Wells. They didn't, you know, so they're getting guys back that they didn't start the season with, though. So that I think the success
they start the season with Gunner.
Exactly. So I think some of the success is that. However, I like Tony Mancino. I do a lot. Mm-hmm. I like the guy a lot. I like him not only because they're winning right now, which I think a lot of that is success and getting guys back. I like how he manages the team.
Someone asked me the same question yesterday, and the same answer, because it's hard to say. I think they should keep this guy. He's done a really good job since he's been manager. It's like, yes, but
yeah,
he got all the players back. He not only got guys healthy that weren't on the roster at the beginning of the season, you got guys on the roster who were never on this team before who were performing. So you end up getting a flood of players now that you didn't have the first half of the season. But Jackson and guys like this, Beavers, Basayo, they weren't here, and they weren't going to be here.
And full disclosure, I'll say this. You know this. Brandon Howe was my dude.
I know.
Off the field, he's my dude. So when they promoted Mancino to the interim job, I said, you know what? I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
That's
the difficulty. I want to give an honest answer to my friend, but yeah, it's like, and I don't want to dump on Mancino. I'm just trying to explain how I feel. Like, I like him too. He may be very good. He's a good baseball guy.
You're good.
He's a baseball guy.
From an administrative end standpoint, this is administration here. He's always the adult in the room. Always. Always in control of what's going on without ruling with an iron fist. So, you know,
I mean, is the difference, is it cut and dry? Is this the difference when Mancino took over, is that they started to put more points on the board?
That's that too. Yeah. That too. You know, he's well aware of that.
I love it.
He's well aware of that, and he wears it.
I was on somebody's show and they slipped up and said, yeah, you know, you got to put points. What am I saying? I'm sitting here thinking about the NFL. You got to put runs up. And I'm going, yeah, but in Baltimore, sometimes we put points on the board. It doesn't matter.
Let's go to Tom on Easton. What's up, Tom?
I want to ask you a question about all the Orioles injuries this year. Do you just think it's all bad luck, or do you think it might be how they strengthen and condition?
Okay, let me ask you this, okay? Jordan Westberg diving into second base, hurting his fingers. Is that strength and conditioning?
No.
Colton Cowser going for a fly ball, banging into the wall, breaking his ribs. Is that strength and conditioning?
Nope.
So, no.
Well, and the other one, Tyler O'Neill rolling out of bed, is that strength and conditioning? Because he gets hurt no matter what he does.
He puts more time in the gym than anybody.
Yeah. So I think it's a lot of bad luck, Tom, because a lot of these injuries have nothing to do with strength and conditioning. It's just things that happen in the course of a baseball game. Keep in mind, Kyle Bradish was injured from last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a last year's injury. Somebody had a concussion this year. That's not strength and conditioning. Who had a concussion?
Well, Kierstead did.
Yeah.
Right?
Kowser. They had concussions. That's not strength and conditioning.
But outside of a handful of guys, like we've seen, some of these guys have been hurt before.
Yes.
So it's not like...
And I know what they're alluding to. Yeah. Oh, you changed strength and conditioning coaches. Some of the injuries were from last year, and it's not his fault from last year, the injuries. And some of the injuries from this year has nothing to do. There's nothing I can do with strength and conditioning to avoid a concussion or banging my fingers or turning my ankle. Those are just things that happen on the course of a baseball game. Unlucky. Is this the weekend we finally see Keaton Mitchell hit the field? Hopefully. We'll talk about that at 6:45. Mark Andrews downplayed his slow start, saying that he's contributed in other aspects and that, quote, his time will come. Do you believe him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I don't look at it as slow, man. I feel like I'm doing a lot of things to, you know, make big plays. You know, you look at the first game, you know, just about every run was sprung off a block, you know, behind me. So, you know, in my eyes, I'm trying to win games, trying to help this team out. I feel like I'm doing a good job with things that are asked of me. I know the good things will come, patience. You know, I'm not worried too much about the outside noise, about fantasy football. That stuff doesn't matter to me. I'm worried about this team.
See, I love Mark Andrews' answer. I don't care. I don't know whether it's BS or not, and I don't care. Mark Andrews is focused on one thing. Mark Andrews knows this, Ed.
You ain't going to let Prodigy cook real quick?
Whether I produce individually or win the Super Bowl, somebody's going to sign me. Because if he's the starting tight end mm-hmm. or one of the starting tight ends on the Super Bowl team with the career that he has, he's going to get a contract. If he doesn't win the Super Bowl but puts up big numbers, he's going to get a contract. So one way or another, Mark Andrews knows he's taken care of. He sounds like, to me, the only thing he wants this year is that Lombardi trophy. That's how he sounds to me.
Yeah, I would believe that's true. I mean, it's got to be frustrating on their part to they hear what everybody says. They played in those games. He, of all people, of course, has a, I'm sure bears a 55-gallon drum of guilt. I bet he does want to make it good, make it right.
Well, you know, like, I think you have to love what he's saying here because it would be very easy for someone to go, yeah, man, you know, I want to get the ball more. We lost game one. I would have loved to have had it. He's saying all the right things, and I know it's not just coach speak because I think that's kind of who he is.
I was about to say, call me naive, but I don't feel as coach speak with him. I feel like that's really – he was here from the beginning, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I started this gangster, you know, but anyway. You know, he was here from the very beginning of this whole new regime. I think if anybody wants to win, to put an exclamation point on if this really is the end, is Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson wants it because he wants it. It ain't the end for Lamar Jackson. This might be the end for Mark Andrews here in Baltimore. I don't give him a pass for dropping the ball in the playoffs. I don't give him a pass for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give him a pass for ducking the media and not saying anything. However, I'm not going to erase Mark Andrews' career in Baltimore because of those two things. He's a bad dude. And I want that bad dude to focus on helping me win football games more so than focusing on his personal stats.
Yeah, and again, like, he would have, if you're looking at someone at this point of their career who obviously wants to win a Super Bowl, but also next year probably wants to get paid whatever a fair deal is. I mean, if that is coming back here on a cheaper deal, we don't know because you're probably going to get more money from someone else. So trying to end on that high note. And I love the fact that, look, the thing we think about tight ends is catching the football.
Yep.
It ain't the only part of his job. It's not.
He says he's doing other aspects right now.
Yeah. I mean, he could have got that block in Buffalo, but we ain't going to talk about that one. But, I mean, you did get a bunch of other ones, you know?
Yeah.
He was just like, look, he did the filet where he's like, is that my guy? Is it? Oh.
So to answer what I said, Jeremy said, I'm not going to give him a pass for missing that block, but – that's still Mark Andrews.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that guy, look, I'll take him on my team any day of the week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it's our job, Ed, to analyze, to critique, and give opinions. And when he screws up, we give that.
Absolutely.
However, overall, I'm not in a hurry to replace Mark Andrews.
I got
to
admit,
not
though,
even close.
Because I am kind of that meme where, you know, the guy's walking next to the girl and he turns around, he looks at the other girl.
Yeah.
That's Isaiah Likely.
Oh, yeah, me too.
By. It's like, what is this? Huh? Yeah, because that's the guy you need to ink up and lock up.
See, I'm the other guy. They don't have a meme for me. I want to take the girl that I'm with and introduce her to the other girl and walk away with both of them. I want Likely and Andrews, and I don't. Well, I gotta choose. Why can't I have both?
My luck, they'd both go away together, and there I would be, handsome.
What's on your phone?
What?
What do you mean? Camera.
Oh. I want to watch
video.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Video, bro. Yeah, I like both of them. I want both of them. I do. I mean, if I got to choose, yeah, I'll choose the younger one. But,
oh. That's Ed. Ed, you agree? If you got to choose, you'll choose the younger one?
You just shut yourself out of a whole demographic.
Okay. If I got to choose, I'll choose the younger type. No, I can't do that either. The younger player. How's that? Yeah. That better? The younger, more productive football player, if I have to choose.
Ooh. But again, like...
The whole show came to a screech, didn't it?
Oh.
This happened last year, though, too, where he started off
about
slow.
50,000 gorgeous women in their 40s and 50s.
Y'all know what I mean.
Go to another station just now.
Y'all know what I mean. We were talking football. I went back to talking football and NFL and Ravens.
Yeah, Rob said you guys look good for older women.
We ain't doing this. We ain't doing this. You ain't doing this to me. I love all y'all. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Your prediction, Ed, win a Super Bowl or not, is Mark Andrews a Raven in 2026?
No. I don't think so.
Is it a mistake?
No, I mean, it's just, I think if this happens, as I said, if they win the Super Bowl, they don't win. I just think they run a really good organization. They do things, they seem to be smart on their moves. And if that would be one of those really, really hard things to do, because he grew up in this organization. But I could see them saying, well, we can't afford all these people, and we have this guy now. And we have Likely.
I agree with Ed that he's gone, Jeremy, but it's not a mistake because the Ravens don't make those kind of mistakes.
Look,
they got a plan.
If you're looking at it, it's not a mistake. It just...
No, it's just, I said, they're smart.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, again, if they win the Super Bowl, Mark's like, hey, I want to try to run this back, and comes back on a lesser deal. I mean, that's always a possibility. I don't expect that. But you have to look at what you have to pay. If you're paying Likely, how are you paying him when you're thinking about Linderbaum and you're thinking, what are we doing with Owe? You know, and then you start talking about some of the other pieces on this team that you'd like
just
to extend.
Hamilton.
Yeah, it's there's a lot that has to go on with signing your own that once you look at a Mark Andrews at this point in his career, I think you have to say goodbye unless you get him at your price.
The NCAA nixes the spring transfer portal. We'll talk about that at 7:15. But on the other side, is this weekend the weekend that we finally see Keaton Mitchell hit the field? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The same thing. He's got the speed. He's got the vision. I think both guys are doing a great job there. But it's the other phases, really, that played into it. And like right now, Ali gives us that chance to fill those roles right now.
As special teams coach Chris Horton on Keaton Mitchell last week. By the way, guys, before we move on, I just want to let you know, I normally do this at the end of the show. But today is all National Cheeseburger Day. So as you guys get out to your workplaces today, trying to plan your lunch, celebrate today.
If you want a burger, eat a burger. Yeah. You have a go-to burger? Are you a burger guy or no?
I'm definitely a burger guy. Absolutely.
I have a buddy that loves burgers, and we go to all these different places, and you just watch him. He'll order a burger or even two. Larry. Mm-hmm. Like, everywhere we go, burger. I'm like, you don't get tired of eating them? Nope. Just loves them.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I could do it all the time, but I know I can't. I know it shouldn't, so I don't. Love burgers.
Every time we talk about burgers, I got to bring up Port au Call in New Orleans. Best burger place ever, man. So good. Burgers and baked potatoes and monsoons. You have two of those monsoons, you won't remember your name. It's a great place. What did I eat? I don't remember.
Mitchell, are you of the opinion, Jeremy, that they got to find a role for him, or are you okay with the direction they're going right now?
Look, they got a lot of mouths to feed, but I'd like to see Keaton Mitchell out there. We've all heard about his explosiveness. We saw it in the preseason. We saw it before he got hurt. And I get it with the size, but like, wouldn't that be a good lightning and thunder to have with Henry and Keaton Mitchell? Because Justice Hill, to me, his role is just going to be third down back. Not that he's not going to get a couple carries here and there, but that's, to me, that's his defined role and what he's great at and what he's going to make a career out of.
Yeah.
But with Keaton Mitchell, he has home run ability. Like, he has a chance to take it to the house anywhere on the field. Right. And it kind of surprises me that he's been, you know, basically, you know, coach's decision. He's not active on
game
day.
Shocks me, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they see in the other backs who are ahead of him, but they say he's a home run ability. It's exciting. He can break off a run for 40 yards at any time.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it at all. I mean, they know better than me, and they've done this a lot longer than me, but I don't understand how they can't find a spot for him.
Even if it's a couple plays a game, like, you could give him a few touches and he could change field position in one play. And as a running back, I mean, I think you want that out there. And we've seen this too. It's not like he was a product of his environment and then all of a sudden you get a chance and yeah, he broke off a couple runs because he got the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good back. The only issue with Keaton Mitchell in my mind is his size and does the body hold up. And I don't even want to call that an issue, but that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. At the same time, I understand why they have Ali in there. You know, you would have to go through the roster. And I tried to play this little exercise last night coming home. Who would I take off the roster for Keaton Mitchell? And it's hard for me to say Ali because he's so good at what he's doing right now.
That's the problem. This is one of those nice problems to have. Embarrassment of riches, whatever you want to say. These are tough choices. And this is why it's debatable. I don't like to see him, you know, be a coach's decision. Non-injury, you know, sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him play. But where do you fit him? You know, that's the problem.
Tell him, Rob, you got to get in where you fit in, man. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't know what that is.
Well, it is kind of odd, too. Like, we're seeing, and I know it's a different situation, but all the receivers on this team. If you're a receiver on this roster, you've already eaten at some point. You know what I mean? Like, Tez has touchdowns. Tylan Wallace in the last game. We've seen it from D-Hop. We've seen it from Zay already. Rashad Bateman, we know what he can do. Like, all the receivers on this team have been involved in the offense. Keaton Mitchell was a guy that I was telling people I would grab him with your last draft pick because if anything does happen to Derrick Henry, knock on wood that it doesn't, I almost feel like Keaton Mitchell would come in and be more, not a feature back per se, but I think he would definitely get his carries where Justice Hill would get more carries but still keep his role as a third down back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so good in that role, you don't want to change that up. But I do think he would get a few more carries per game.
Yeah. But again, it's stretching somebody out of the way to get him. And you may not want to do that. That's just the bottom line. You just, you know, it's a good problem to have. Like Ed said, it's an embarrassment of riches. You're doing so well offensively, but with anybody getting somebody else in, but you're doing so well offensively, how do you get that somebody else in?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's obviously a difficult situation to make sure you're putting your best team out there because you have so many talented players and finagling the roster. So was I shocked that Keaton Mitchell, you know, DNP the first couple weeks or didn't even dress? Yeah, I was, but you also look at it going, I kind of get it. I mean, if you're figuring out what you're doing with Pat Ricard and somebody's replacing him And then all of a sudden in the secondary, you're working with this and you want to have this many cornerbacks or this many offensive linemen. At some point, if your roster's loaded, there's going to be good players that are sitting. And I hate to see it for Keaton because I think he can have an impact on the game.
What impact does he have? What does he bring that we don't have now?
Which one, Keaton? Keaton,
yeah.
I think that, you know, super explosiveness. I mean, Henry can do it, but, you know, he can't play every snap. I do like the fact that when Keaton's in there, you never know if it's going to be, you know, a 4-yard gain or a 44-yard gain, because if he gets to the outside or he breaks through in the middle and, the linebackers are in, say, out of Tampa 2 and the middle linebackers are deep, whatever, he's got a lot. He can go and just, and like that. And he's going to outrun people on the defense. And we don't really, you don't have that very often.
Is there a bigger need, and you'll know where I'm going with this. Is there a bigger need to have Keaton Mitchell in there if Justin Herbert is your quarterback and not Lamar Jackson? Because everything you just said, Lamar can do.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be nice to have two?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
At the sacrifice of what? That's what I mean. Like, okay, I would like to have that, but I've already had that number 8. Let me use that spot for something else. I can imagine, Jeremy, that the conversation went something like that. We already had that in the backfield every snap.
Well, I mean,
if you have Justin Herbert, then maybe it's a greater need for that.
Is Ali a better special teams player than him, though?
I think that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
And I think that's why you made that decision.
That's what it sounds like to me, but I just don't want to assume that that's the case because, I mean, they can say what they want about both of the running backs, and I like Ali. I think Keaton Mitchell has something a little bit better for the NFL level that you can use as far as an offensive standpoint. But again, like when Derrick Henry's in there and he's seeing stuffed boxes and he's still able to just pound that thing, you know. Am I going somewhere with this? When you have him in there, I feel like he gets targeted, right? Like people, you know when 22's in there and we're watching him and we got to make sure we're doing this. Maybe when you see he's out of the game, you give a different look.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not as many guys in the box, and that's why, you know, with a Keaton Mitchell type, he can burst one or break one. And the thing is, like, we thought this was going to happen with Justice Hill. We thought he was going to be a home run hitter. And to be fair, he's had some long runs, but that wasn't the case.
He's not a home run hitter, yeah. NCAA nixes the spring transfer portal. So that's at 7:15. But on the other side, what do you make of the Colts owner Carly Gordon Ursay's presence on the Colts sideline and training facility? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.